the good thing about the summer is it's a time to rest. It's a time to hopefully relax. Some of you will be going on holidays and trips. It's a time to wind down and do things that maybe you're hoping to do during the year. Maybe go on a holiday, go on a trip, maybe read a book, maybe just rest, whatever it might be. And so this is the official start of our summer here. Schools have broken up, some families are already going away, but great that all you've come today. In the last few years in our church, over the summer, we've just kind of kept it open to guest speakers or people from the church just to share what's on their heart. So there's no program, you don't have to speak on a certain topic. And so that's what we're doing again this year. And during the week, Kirsten kept asking me, so what are you going to speak on Sunday? I said, I don't know. Well, you better hurry up. You better plan something. And then here's my confession point. Okay, confession to you. During the week, I thought, well, I'll just give them something that I've given before because I'm used to that, speaking in that, and I can kind of bring maybe something fresh in it. There's my confession. But I'm not doing that this morning because the Lord kind of dealt with me over that one and said, no, you're not. You're not just going to bring something that you brought before. Do you not believe that I can speak in fresh ways? Do you not believe I haven't given you something new to say? Yes. Okay. Well, then I will. And so on Friday morning, my friend Bahador came in to see me. Is Bahador here today? No? Okay, a moment, that's good, because I'm going to share with you what I learned from Bahador on Friday. So Bahador came in. Bahador and I have been meeting for about 3 years now. We're going through the Psalms. We've got up to Psalm 80. We'd got up to Psalm 83, but we haven't met for almost a year, because Bahador got a new job, and he's been really busy at weekends. He got to work all weekends. And so haven't really been able to meet. So we met up on Friday, and we did Psalm 84. So guess what I'm going to share with you this morning, all right? I know you already know that because you see this, Psalm 84. And as we went through this together, I just felt the Lord impressing me, Don, share that on Sunday. Share Psalm 84 with people on Sunday at church. Just as we've shared it with Bahador, share it with others. Because I think other people need to learn the lessons of Psalm 84 for their journey. And so I hope Psalm 84 will be relevant to you this morning. I've been reflecting on it just over the weekend, since Friday, and I want to share a little bit of that with you today. It's called Of the Sons of Korah, and I'll come to that in a little minute. But first of all, Psalms are a real treasure chest. I don't know if you realize what a gift the Psalms are. Maybe for some of you this summer, you'll dip into the Psalms, okay? Because the Psalms are for every stage of life. So if you need to worship and praise God, or maybe you've got a wee bit dry and dusty, and that's not something you've been doing, and you say, I need to get back to that place that I live out of praise and worship, because I'm not living out of that place for a while, read some of the Psalms. And the Psalms will give you words to pray or sing. You'll notice I've said at the top, the Psalms are both songs and prayers. So if you like to sing, and then use them as songs. I came across, I just found this out this morning, actually. The Sons of Korah are a modern worship group from Australia. So there is a group, about five musicians, and they're called the Sons of Korah, and they are putting the Psalms to music. I haven't heard of them before. I've never heard any of their songs. I'm going to try and catch them this week and listen to them. And also a couple of weeks ago, I discovered there's a group in Canada called the Shire Poets. There's a worship leader called Bran Dirksen. We sing songs like As the Deer Pants for Water, absolutely. Songs like that. Refiner's Fire. It's another one by Bran Dirksen. They are now putting the Psalms to music as well. So anyway, that's an aside. So they're songs to sing, but they're also prayers that we can pray for our journey, whether you sing them or not. There's some songs that are songs of joy, to give thanks. Because if you're like me, we can stop sometimes being thankful. We can take things for granted of what God gives us. We can go through life day by day, week by week, month by month, and we don't often stop just to say, thank you, God. We're more aware of the things we don't have, or the things we want God to do, or the things we're asking for, and we keep asking and wanting this, and then we don't just stop and say, hold on a minute. I've actually got an awful lot in my life to be thankful for. I know there's things I'm asking for, but let's just stop and remember what God has done. And in the Old Testament, the Israelites had to learn that all the time, had to stop and say thanks. There's prayers to actually shout. And many times in the Psalms, the psalmist says, shout to the Lord. Shout to God. Not shout in anger, okay, but shout like you're at a big rock concert, okay? Shout like you're at the Glastonbury Festival or whatever. Shout songs of celebration when there's like thousands and thousands of people all singing the songs together and this huge big noise breaks out. It's good to be noisy sometimes, all right? Shout in celebration to God and get lots of people together to do it. There are some songs to help you cry because we do cry. And there's times we get sad. In this last couple of weeks, I know that some of you are really struggling because of the news of Julie Semple. You need songs to cry. You need words to cry with. Because sometimes when you're crying over the loss of a dearly loved lady like Julie, you don't have the words. I visited one of Julie's friends on Friday, and she said, Don, I'm just numb. I'm just numb. I don't know what to feel anymore. I don't know what to say. And I read a psalm with her. She's a Christian lady, goes to another church in Pollokshaws, but she can't get out to church so often because of her health. There's also psalms and songs when you feel the blues. Not just when you get sad news, but if you're struggling with depression, if you get into those spaces, those dark spaces, as some people do, you don't see the light. And despite what people are saying to you, you are a good person. You don't need to be here. We can't hear that. And some of you will know exactly what that feels like when you get into that place, a dark place, a place where you just can't feel you can break out. And when you're in that place, there are some psalms. Psalms for people who feel the blues. And just feel that life just sucks, all right? And when you read those psalms, they don't say, stop it. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Okay, life doesn't suck. Life is always happy. No, it doesn't. They say, you know what? It does. You know what? There are things that don't make sense. You know what? There's times where I don't know where God is either. If you ever feel like that, feel free to tell God what you feel. And don't be embarrassed or apologize for doing it, because there's other people who feel like that too. And we need to be careful. I say that to me and all of us. Sometimes we can come to people who are in the blues and we can always say, stop it. You know, you don't need to feel the blues, blah, 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 blah. But we need to be more sensitive. Okay? It's easy for us outside the blues, if we're singing all the happy songs, to think, why are they singing blues songs? They shouldn't. Yes, they should. They need to sing those songs, because when they learn to sing those songs, they will come through that time. They will come through that time, and God will bring them through it. There's also songs when you're feeling confused, and you say, like, God, I don't get this. Like, I just don't understand why. And again, there's some people, I've heard them say, well, we shouldn't ask God why. Just accept it. No. Don't just accept it. Ask God why. Even if you don't get an answer, ask him. Like, God, why is this happening? I just don't understand. In fact, one of the Psalms of Korah, wait for this, okay? They actually say to God, God, wake up, you're sleeping, and listen to me. Do you ever say that to God before? Do you ever tell God to wake up? Oh, but we're so holy. But the Bible says God never slumbers or sleeps. Of course it does. But do you feel like God's sleeping sometimes? Do you? Honestly? I do. God doesn't punish people or get angry with people who say that. He just shows up. And then finally, there's songs for the road, for the journey. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, one of the songs for the road. Now, before I give you Psalm 84, I have to share a little bit about these guys, okay? Because this will help you to understand why the sons of Korah sing this song for the road. Okay, so bear with me for this. I know not everyone is interested in this stuff, but please bear with me because I think this is going to be important. Who were they? Who were these guys who made up this song? They composed, well, I don't know how many, but 12 of their songs made it into the Psalms. Okay, the sons of Korah. Well, the sons of Korah didn't have a very good background, okay? It's like if you were known as the sons of Korah, people went, Korah was like your grandfather? Oh my goodness, who was Korah? Korah was a bad, bad, bad man, okay? He was not somebody you wanted to be associated with, okay? If you had the ancestry of like Adrian Smith, we're one of the Smiths. People say, oh, he's got to be a good guy then, all right? Okay, if you were from the ancestry of the Palmers, people would go, you're one of them? Really? Do you know what they used to be like? Do you know what they used to do, the original Palmers? No? Well, let me tell you about the Palmers, okay? So it was a bit like that. He was a bad, bad guy. He was the cousin of Moses. You can read about him in Numbers 16. Numbers 14 and 15 and 16 were quite dark places. What happened is this. The Israelites have come out of Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land, and they get to the edge of the promised land, all right? And Moses sends in some spies to see what it's like. And the guys come back, and they go, oh my goodness, do you know what it's like in there? There are these enormous giants, okay? They're going to kill us. Ah, we're so tiny and small and insignificant. They're so big and mean and nasty. They're going to kill us all. We're going to die. Ah! Or words to that effect, okay? Paraphrasing roughly, very roughly. And the people got frightened. And the people go, there are? There's giants? Like how big? How many? What are they like? And only two men, Joshua and Caleb, said, okay, there's giants, but listen, we've got God on our side. Okay, God's bigger than all of them. And the people didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb. They listened to the bad guys. And it says they rebelled against Moses, they rebelled against God, and they turned back. And if that wasn't bad, and you know, folks, sometimes in life, bad things come in pairs. So you experience something and you're just getting over it, and then something else happens. Anybody ever had that experience? Where you think, okay, I've just got over this batch of flu, and then something else happens, okay? I've just got over this broken limb, and then something else happens. I've just got over this bad experience at work, and then something else happens. Okay, something else happens. In Numbers chapter 16, Korah comes along with his two mates. And they decide that Moses and Aaron aren't good enough to lead the people. And so they rebel against them. And they basically say, we could do a better job than you. Who do you think you are? You've brought us out of the land. You've brought us here. What a bunch of losers you are. You're no good at leading the people. God clearly can't be using you. We're going to take over from you, and we're going to take everyone right back to Egypt. Korah and his two friends were worship leaders. They were responsible to gather up all the parts of the tabernacle, the poles and the cloths and the Ark of the Covenant and the censer and the candlestick, all the stuff. Their job was to pack it all up and carry it and unpack it and set it all out, okay, for worship, and then to lead the people in worship. So then they rebel against the leaders, say, we're going to take over. God judged them. God judged them very severely. I'm not going to tell you what he did. Some of you know if you've read the Bible, but you can read it. But God had mercy on their children. And it says this little verse Numbers 26, verse 11, the children of Korah didn't die. That's not an insignificant verse. That's one of those little verses you can read over really quickly and say, oh, what's the point of that? That's important. God had other plans for this nasty man's children. He killed him, or caused him to die, whatever way you want to look at it, but he had a plan for his children. And it says this, later on, they became the temple servants. So let me go to one of them, okay? Here's one of the descendants of Korah, a man called Heman. And he wrote one of the Psalms, Psalm 88, okay? He was a musician, just like Nicole and all of our musicians, etc. He was a musician, lived in the time of David, and this is what it says. He was the first one that David picked to be a worship leader. So when David starts to lead the people and he sets to plan all of the worship leaders and how they worship God, the first person he picked was this man called Heman. And he says he placed him in charge of the music of the house of the Lord when the ark came to rest there. He was also a prophet. He was a seer. And what was a seer? A seer was somebody who saw into God's heart. They saw God's plans. And they saw into what God was going to do. And their songs, their worship songs, came out of that. So David goes, I like him. This guy really sees into what God's plans are. I'm going to have him to be a worship leader. And he must have written all these wonderful songs because he saw into God's heart. None of these, I love this. God gave Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All of them were given to him through the promises of God. Wow. Just pause and think about that for a moment. 17 times, according to this verse, God gave this guy a promise. He said, I'm going to give you a wee boy. I'm going to give you a daughter. I'm going to give you another son. I'm going to give you another one. And he promised them 17 times he was going to give them children. And all of his sons and daughters, David set aside the sons of Heman for the ministry of prophesying and accompanied by harp, cymbals, and lyres. So his children all became worship leaders. Can you imagine that? Like, these are the children of Korah. These are the children of the guy who thought he knew better than Moses. And eventually he composes this psalm. So he was one, I'm just giving you him as an example, of one of the sons of Korah. So what did they write? Some of you that love music will get this next point. Some of you don't, it'll go over your heads. Do you know when you're driving in the car or you're going on holiday or just going to work or whatnot and a song pops into your head? Okay, or even once a line of a song pops into your head and you start singing it. Okay, or you turn on the radio or whatever you listen to and this you start singing this song. Oh, I love that song. What's it called again? How does it start? Or maybe you get the middle of the song but you can't remember how it starts. The songs of Korah were amazing songs. Listen to some of these lines. These words I'm going to put up were all written by the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of living water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. That was written, not by Bran Dirksen, by the sons of Korah. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. It's another great song by the sons of Korah. My heart is stirred by a noble thing. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. God, take my words and compose songs with my tongue. Wow, what beautiful words, eh? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gave way, written by the sons of Korah. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Yet another one. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. We think these were all written by like worship leaders in the last 10 years. No, they weren't. They were borrowed by worship leaders in the last 10 or 20 years from the sons of Korah. And here's the last one. God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself. So these are all song words that we're familiar with today. They were all written by these guys. So let's go. Open your Bibles, please, or your phones, whatever you're following, to Psalm 84. And let's go through Psalm 84. I'm going to read it. A psalm should be read in full so that you get the whole gist of it. So if you're going to read a psalm, this is the way I'd encourage you to read it. Just read it over, okay? Don't do it verse by verse. Don't read a psalm the way you read the book of Romans, okay? Don't read a psalm the way you read the book of Proverbs. Don't do that, okay? A psalm is a song to be sung and a prayer to be prayed. So read it over, the whole thing. Then go back and delve into different parts of it, okay? It's like singing a song, and then you go back and you sing a line of a song over and over again. That's what you do with a psalm. So here we go, Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who puts their trust in you. So I read that on Friday morning with my friend Bahador. We read it together and then we walked through it. So we want to do that with you this morning. But I don't want to start at the beginning. I want to start in verse 5, please. This psalm is a psalm for people on a pilgrimage. This is one of the psalms for people on a journey. And as Bahador and I were looking at this on Friday, I was thinking about Alison and Richard, Adrian and Christina, David and Philip, who all went on a journey back in March. You went about March? April. Okay? And they went on, that's a pilgrimage, right? So for those who wanted to be a pilgrimage. So they went on El Camino de Santiago. So this great pilgrimage that Christians have walked for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years across the north of Spain. Okay, and I didn't go on it. I've heard of some of the stories from them. And so chat to them about their stories. And by the way, guys, Bahador wants to do this, okay? So he's going to talk to some of you, okay? I said, find them out, Bahador, and ask them about it. He really, really wants to do it. Like, I think he wants to do the whole thing in a week. And I know, okay, but when you know Bahador, Bahador moves very quickly, okay? 30 kilometers a day is like a hop, skip, and a jump for Bahador, okay? He's very fit. So maybe he will, okay? I think he wants to break the world record for doing the Camino. But anyway, he'll talk to you about it. He said, Don, I would love to do that. I would love to do a pilgrimage. I would love to do that walk and go and see these places and meet people and see that amazing church at the end and everything. Anyway, we'll come there. This psalm is for people who go on a journey. And they're going on a journey with God. Now, I know not everybody who does El Camino is Christian or maybe even spiritual, but I think there is something spiritual about it. Even people who don't have any faith, right, take this journey, but as part of the journey of life as well, doing it with other people and reflecting on life. So what can we learn from Psalm 84 about people who are on a pilgrimage, and particularly for us as Christians who are on a journey with God? Because in the sense, and maybe these guys can confirm this with you, when you go on a journey like this, it reminds you that our whole lives are a journey. Okay? All of our lives are on this journey to somewhere. And on this journey, we stop at various places for a rest. On this journey, we sometimes get blisters. Okay? And you can ask Richard to think what's all about that. He'll tell you. But I'm not just talking about literal blisters. Sometimes we hurt. We have pain. Right? When you're on a journey, that happens. What do? You give up? Talk to Richard. He didn't give up. He made it right to the end with all his blisters. What do we do when we have pain? What do we do when we get disappointed? What do we do when we have blisters in our soul? Do you give up? You go back home? Say, you go on, I'm not going to do it anymore? Or do you keep on going with your blisters? See the point of it? You're on a journey with others. There's times to stop. There's times to care for the pain that you're feeling, but you keep doing it. How? How can you keep going? How can any of us keep going on the journey of life? Well, I think there's four things we can learn from this. First of all, you've got to have a goal in mind. You're not just wandering aimlessly without a purpose, okay? You're going from one point to another point. And if you don't feel like going the whole way to northern Spain, stay in Scotland. Go to the east coast of Scotland. Go to the east. Do the Fife Coastal Trail. Did you know the Fife Coastal Trail used to be a pilgrimage? As they went up through the coast, when if you ever walk in places like Ely and St. Monans and all of those places, the whole way up St. Andrews, you'll find old buildings. Many of them were churches. Some of them were resting places for pilgrims who could stop and get some water, get some food, get some encouragement on the journey as they made the journey up to St. Andrews. If you go down to places like North Berwick, you'll find other places too that are probably better kept. It's the same idea. People would walk pilgrimages up the east coast of England to places like Lindisfarne, and then they would keep walking up to Scotland. A pilgrimage is a journey, but they had a goal in mind. They were going somewhere. I want to get there. And it reminds us of our lives that we all have a goal. We have a purpose. I was going to put destination, but I've put destiny. We have a destiny with God. Yes, there's a destination, but the more important thing is what God has for us, our destiny with Him. And when you go in this journey, it reminds you that my life isn't aimless. My life is not just wandering around, not knowing what's going to happen. My life has a purpose. And the purpose for the psalmist here, he talks about it in verse 1. He says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. He says, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about a couple of things. He's yearning for his ultimate destination in the courts of the Lord. He's yearning for that time when he'll ultimately and finally be there in God's courts. And it's like he's saying, I yearn for that time. Funny, I had to explain to Bahra what yearning is. So I'm probably, if I look down at Shah's ad right now, she's probably on her phone learning what yearning is, okay? So for those who don't speak English, yearning is like you want something very, very badly. Okay, you long for something so much. That's what it means. He says, I'm even fainting. I can't wait until I get to my destination, to my final goal. But it doesn't just mean the final goal. And like our friends who went in the pilgrimage on the El Camino or life, God gives us points in the journey to encourage us. Even before you get to the end, there's little resting places. Okay, it might be like hostels, where you can go to a hostel and be refreshed and get some food and a glass of red wine. Apparently, I hear you get that every night. Or whatever it might be. Or do you know what it could be? This. What we're doing today. Sometimes we feel we can do this life without church. Sometimes we convince ourselves, I don't need to go to church. Okay? It's not important if I go to church or not. Oh, really? Really? You think you can do this stuff called life with God without going to church? Try it. Try it for a month. Try it for 6 months. Try it for a year. See how you get on. I dare you. I challenge you. Do this, life as a Christian with God, without going to church, and see how you get on. My experience doesn't work. Doesn't work. Because when we come together, brothers and sisters, we come together to remind each other of why we're on this journey. To find out with each other, and encourage you to do this. Please don't rush away afterwards. How about saying hello to someone you've never said hello to before? Even if you don't know their name, just say hi to them today. How are you doing? We got some two young girls who've just been off at a week of camp. Why don't you chat to Grace and Emily? Say, how was your week at camp? Okay, they'll tell you. They had a great time. We do this together because God gives us this as a stepping stone in the journey. Can you imagine on like Saturday saying, oh my goodness, I can't wait to go to church tomorrow. Ugh, I'm like longing to go to church. I think I'm going to faint until I get to church tomorrow morning and sing these worship songs and just be encouraged. I know we don't feel like that. My heart and my flesh cry out for God. That's the first thing that keeps us going. Having a goal, and then God gives us stepping stones to keep us going on that goal. Secondly, he says in verse 5, blessed are those... Oh, sorry, so one other thing. It's a little thing that I jumped over, but I want to say this. Verse 3. Just imagine this guy, he comes to the temple. He's talking about the temple, not so much churches like this. And he goes in the temple one day, and as he goes to worship God and say his prayers, he hears a bird. He goes, what's that? What's that noise coming from? Where's that? Is there a bird in like the temple? And maybe he catches it. Up in the corner, he sees not only a bird, but a nest. And in the nest is either a sparrow or a swallow, a little tiny bird. And what's it doing? It's singing. And he goes, oh my goodness, there are birds in church. There's a bird in the temple. And this bird is, what's it singing about? And he says here, okay, even the swallow has a nest for herself, has found a home near the altar of God where she may have her young. Birds go to the temple as a safe place to give birth to their baby birds. And then they sing about it. In the New Testament, Jesus says, if even sparrows are precious to God, how much more precious are you? Little birds matter to God, how much more do you matter to God? It's just a little bit, okay? Don't know if we're going to find any birds in the church one of these weeks. But secondly, he says they go from strength to strength as they go through the journey. And again, I don't know, you can talk to these guys who did the pilgrimage, but there's something about going on a journey with other people that helps you, right? There's something about finding strength when you're with somebody else. It might just be talking to someone as you're going on your journey, and then you chat, and before you know it, and I think it was Richard who said this to me, you're having a conversation for like an hour and a half, and you're not aware that you've walked 10 kilometers or however many you've walked in an hour and a half. I don't know how long you do in an hour and a half. It's like, oh my goodness, have we just walked all that distance? But you're not aware of it. Why? Because you've been talking to David for an hour and a half, or somebody else. And I used to experience this when I was a bit younger. I did youth work, and I did camps in the Lake District. We would take all these young people off to this camp outside a town called Keswick. And when you went to this camp, you could go hill walking, canoeing, mountain biking, or sailing. Nobody wanted to do hill walking, okay? It was like weird if you wanted to walk up a hill all day. But you had to do it. At least once in the week, you had to walk up one of the mountains in the Lake District. And the kids would get their boots on. They would complain and moan the whole way up. But you get to the top of the mountain, and it's like, we get to see the lake that they're on. We get to see the mountains they're on. And you see the young people changing. But you did it together. You talked to them so that they didn't think about what they were doing. There's something about doing this that helps you go from strength to strength. You find strength, and the psalmist found strength when he did it with others. In verse 6, and I didn't know what this meant on Friday when I was with Bahador. He says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The valley of Baca was a valley that had trees. And the types of trees in this valley drooped. And the same word for these trees was the Hebrew word for crying. So when they went through the valley of Baca and saw these trees, they felt like crying. But they didn't cry alone. They cried with others. And there's something about going through life with others and finding strength. Just two things. My time is gone. I need to draw this to a close. The other thing that you find when you go outside is you're aware of the elements. You're aware of the sun, you're aware of the rain, and both of those elements, the rain and the sun, are mentioned in this psalm. And he says, God, you're my sun. You're my shield from the rain. You're the sun that I feel every day, God. When I feel the warmth of that sun, when I feel the heat of that sun, when I see that sun rising every day, I'm reminded of you. You're my sun. You're my heat. You're my warmth. You're the one that keeps me going. And when these rain and wind and elements beat down on me, God, you're my shield. You protect me. God protects you for the journey, and God keeps you going every day on the journey. And finally, this morning, he says, basically, don't give up. In verse 11, no good thing does God withhold from those whose walk is blameless. There'll be times where we get it wrong. There's times where we feel like giving up. There's times where we meet someone who feels like giving up. And it's about coming alongside and saying, okay, you've made mistakes. You've done things wrong. Okay, bring them to God. We're all like that. Okay? And then confess that to God and move on in your life. And I'm here to help you to do that. Because none of us is perfect. This doesn't say whose walk is perfect. But you can actually be blameless. You can actually say, okay, I've confessed that to God. I'm going to walk on. And when other people try to blame me and shame me, No, you don't. Because God has taken care of that. Okay? And I'm going to keep on walking. And you might blame me for things I've done in the past, but God doesn't. God forgives me. God restores me. He says God gives me honor and favor. That's what God wants to do for you. And so today, that's Psalm 84. Going to wee bit over the time. We're going to come and just now, come on up, guys, and lead us in the final song. And as we've gone through this psalm today, I just want to leave it with you. Encourage you maybe read it a little bit on your own. Take some of these psalms over the summer. Read them. Take them on the journey with you, wherever you're going to go. Maybe do one a day, one a week. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. And whatever you're feeling in life, they're there for you. It's like God says, there they are, 150. They're my gift to you. Please use them. Okay? And when you use them, you'll get to experience something of me. So, Lord, today, I just pray for this word. I pray this word will find a resting place in people's hearts, in people's minds, in people's souls. Wherever we are on the journey of life, may these words resonate with us, all of us here today, on the journey of our lives. Thank you, Lord, you never abandon us on this journey. Thank you that you're always the sun and shield to warm our hearts and to protect us from what life will throw against us. And so, Lord, bless and encourage everyone here today, wherever they are in that journey. And may they carry these words with them as they leave this place today.